Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
This morning about 4 o'clock, I was enjoying my sleep. The Lord woke me up. That's right. For my makeup. And he took me into a dream. I was asleep. He woke me up. He showed me a dream. And it's interesting because this Wednesday night, right here in this place, we have a public meeting to talk about the community of Victor Harbour spending $5.8 million, which will blow over the budget anyway, to rejuvenate, to refresh, to make better use of what is the town hall of Victor Harbour. And as you know and I know, we've got a vision to build a community centre here to glorify God. And the budget figure for that is around $5.8 million. And I've been invited now to speak at the public forum about what we can offer a community. And a year of little faith, full of faith, but struggling. Saying, okay, Lord, we're small in number. Finances don't project what you could do through a small church gathering like this. And he showed me this dream. And we were gathered here on a Sunday morning. We pushed out a couple of walls both sides, so the auditorium was a little bit like an amphitheatre. I'd come in like I normally do on a Sunday morning, and I put my Bible and my sermon notes down the front, and I said to the ushers at the time, we're going to need more chairs. They said, Pastor Lou, it's only early. How do you know? I said, I've got a feeling you're going to love this, Trudy. That the worship is going to attract people like never before. So I left my seat and I started to walk around the auditorium as it was, we can't do big yet, but we can expand on what we got. And people started coming in. And I said to the ushers again, we're going to need more chairs. And they said, but we haven't got any more chairs, Pastor Lou. So we're going to have standing room only. We're going to be sitting on carpets. We're going to have children on the front. And the Lord took me outside of the auditorium. Now, church is about to start. I could hear the band, Trudy, the band, the live musicians begin to step up their worship. The service hadn't started. They're in worship mode. And as I'm walking down the street, I see people putting down their wheelbarrows in their front lawns. I see people turn off their lawnmowers. I see people put down their Sunday mail and their morning coffee, and they just start to run. They start to run because the worship is so anointed. The presence of God is drawing people out of the streets. I'm in a dream, yet I'm awake and I'm witnessing what God can do. And I come back into the auditorium and my seat's been taken. I'm about 30 rows back and I see two seats and I grab one of them and the lady next to me says, that seat's taken. Do you know who I am, lady? I don't care. No, I don't care. I see people standing up and down in the aisles because the presence of God has drawn them in their Sunday work clothes. They've left businesses. They've said to their boss, I can't work anymore this morning. I've got to go. Wake up, and the scripture that comes to mind is out of Revelation. I wasn't going to preach this, but I'm going to now. Book of Revelation, chapter 2. God loves this house so much, friends, so much, that he can use a donkey like me, and I'm not being rude to a donkey. God can use in anybody to bring glory to his name. I don't profess to know much, but I'm a humble servant before the Lord, and I want this house to bring glory to his name. What an opportunity we have again. But look what it says here in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. To the angel, the messenger of the assembly, or the church in Ephesus, write. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars, which are the messengers of the seven churches, in his right hand, who goes about among the seven golden lampstands, which are the seven churches. I'm reading from the Amplified. I'll go back in a minute. I know your industry and activities, laborious toil and trouble, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot tolerate wicked men, and have tested and critically appraised those who call themselves apostles, the special messengers of Christ, and yet are not, and have found them to be impostors and liars. Verse 3. I know you are enduring patiently and are bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not fainted or become exhausted or grown weary. Verse 4. But I have this one charge to make against you, that you have left, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. And God said, you have deserted me, the first love. I sat and pondered. It seemed like hours. I realized that I am guilty of laboring much, letting go of that first love. It's not addressed to me, it's to us. I look back over my last 18 months, 2 years, and repented of my busyness. I think I brought that into correction a little bit more late last year, into this year. The Lord distinctly told me to take this to the church. I was going to write out a lengthy sermon for sometime soon. With the presence of the Lord so strong here this morning, how can we, as a church, resist what the Spirit of the Lord is saying? Let me read it again out of King James. Follow it through in your passage. It's important we grasp what the Lord is saying to us. Don't look at anyone else. Don't look outside at other churches or other denominations. Let us look at us. It says, under the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works and your labour, and your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil. And you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, found them to be liars. You have borne and have patience. For my name's sake you have labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have lost the first love. Because you've lost the first love. I wonder whether we were perfectly honest this morning. But when we look at our life outside of these walls, outside of what we do on a Sunday, all of us are in this together. None are exempt, I believe. If you're exempt, that's fine. I love you too. This is what the Holy Spirit said to me this morning. We've lost our first love. Remember the first time you fell so in love with Jesus? so in love with Jesus. Couldn't wait to tell everyone about it. Couldn't wait to lay hands on the sick. He couldn't wait to get back in prayer. He couldn't wait to get back into his word. He couldn't wait to get hold of the teaching that encouraged you and grew you. And you lay hold of that teaching and you just want to tell everyone about it. And then we got busy. And then the devil got us busier. And we were distracted. And we were pulled away. Instead of having that time where nothing's going to move, nothing's going to shake me from that position, we go to that place, well, really do need to get some things done. I love that passage in Matthew where it says, seek first. Seek where? First. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things be taken care of besides. I often laugh at us, that we are such busy people. All of us, we all fall into the trap. Pastor Lou, you don't realize how full my life is, how busy I am. We all fall into it. It doesn't matter whether you're full in your retirement or full in your workplace or full in your home life or full of doing nothing, your life is full. My life is full. We're busy people, just the way the enemy likes it. The Bible says, guard your heart. For out of it flow the issues of life. Where does your first love come out of? Is it heart or head? I could be the greatest theologian on earth, not know God. I could know my Greek and my Hebrew inside out, still not know God. But when I fell in love with him, I was sharing with a Christian brother the other day, when I fell in love with him, it went beyond knowing about him. It went beyond knowing scriptures. It went beyond those lovely little lessons I learnt, that inside knowledge I had because I'm a great student. It went to a place where I fell in love with God, my Father, filling with God in the form of Jesus, the Son, who laid down his life for me. I fell in love with Holy Spirit. The day I accepted Holy Spirit and was baptized with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I'm a busy person, just like you are. I believe the Lord was saying, if we're going to achieve in all our lives what he called us to achieve, we need to come back to that first love. Last Sunday night, during our night service, we touched heaven in worship. Touched. Had a glimpse. Had an almost moment. And for whatever reason, we let it go. This morning, praise God, Trudy felt a move of the Spirit. She said, we need to open up the altar. But some of you didn't move. Some of you needed to move. I could name names right now because I've been in prayer. I know you because I'm your pastor. And I said some other things because I'm a prayer warrior. And part of my first love is to spend that time in earnest prayer, to dig deep and not to judge you, but to find out what's behind, what's going on in your life, and pray in earnest for what God wants to do. Your first love life? Just the fleeting moment? Was it just oh, that was lovely? And then life went on? I believe there's anointing on this house like no other church on the South Coast. I believe that. Not because I'm the pastor, because I've heard from the Holy Spirit. We preach us of the truth. We open up the Word and we examine what God's Word says about our life. And if we're going to go to the next level, we're going to have to get back into that first love for God and for his word. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 just quickly. You and I have such a great message to bring to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Such a great message about your Saviour, your Lord, your King, to a community that is waiting. Like I said in that dream, they didn't think they were waiting, but man, when they heard that sound of worship, when they heard that song of heaven, they just dropped whatever they had. It's a little bit like the revivals in Wales and the revivals in Azusa Street. It's a little about those early revivals that went through Adelaide in the early Pentecostal days. I'm doing a study on Pentecostal revivals at the moment. And again and again and again, I see it when the house of the Lord falls in love again with that first love of God and gets on their knees and prays earnestly for their community and seeks the favor of God in wherever they go, whatever they're doing. God begins to move. It begins to shake. It begins to draw a community to Him. I believe 2018 is going to be a year where eyes are going to be opened in our community to how great your God is, how great my God is. If you don't believe He's a great, great God, then you need to pray more and get back into a right relationship with Him. I say that lovingly. I say that caringly because the scripture says on the day of judgment, you and I are going to stand before Him. And the most terrible words that you and I would want to hear was, "Depart from me, I never knew you." I don't want to hear those words. I don't want to get to heaven and miss my entrance to be in the presence of the King forever because I never knew Him. In Romans chapter 12, pick up in verse 9 with me. This is part of what he's been saying to me for weeks, but really brought out this morning. Again, reading from the Amplified, 9 through to 12. Let your love be sincere. A real thing, the Amplified says. Hate what is evil. Loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness. But hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit at length, serving the Lord. Rejoice and exult in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Let your love be sincere. Come back to your first love. Come back to that place where God was your everything and not just an add-on. Examine your life as I'm going through mine at the moment. Are there things, Lord, that are unnecessary that I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing? Lord, my heart is that we raise up teams to do the work of ministry in this church. From the preaching and the teaching to the serving on rosters. We need teams. We need people that are prepared to put their hand up and say, you know what? I've never given a communion message before. Pastor Lou, this is what the Lord's put on my heart. Will you allow me to do it? I don't like cleaning toilets, Pastor Lou, but if it saves the church $100 a week off the cleaning bill, put me down. We're getting a semi-load of mulch in to mulch the garden. I want to be part of the team that has the pleasure of spreading that mulch. Let your love be sincere. The real thing. Hate what is evil. Hate what is evil. Strong, strong words, aren't they? Isn't that God's command, though? hate, don't tolerate it. Don't put up with it. Don't compromise it. Don't justify it. We justify so much in our lives. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to challenge every one of us about what we're justifying. What we're seeing, what we're taking in with our eyes, what we're hearing, what we're allowing in our ears, what we're allowing to settle in our heart based on what we justify is right. Hate what is evil. I feel like a fire and brimstone preacher at the moment, Pastor Robert. Softly, softly, Jesus says. No, he didn't. He said, speak the truth with authority. Verse 11. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Amplified then says, be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice. Hallelujah. And exalt in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And James says, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing. Praying all the time. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in English. Praying in your heart. Praying it aloud. Praying. You know, some of the key things of breakthrough in my life as your pastor this past year has been prayer. Not by diligent hard work, not by flexing muscle and being in the right places and speaking to the right people, but allowing Holy Spirit to lead the way, to show the way, to give me the words, to give me the response. Want to see that place packed on a Sunday morning when your seat, where you put your Bible, is taken by someone else? Because you were too caught up in worship? You want to be one of those people where you come in and the ushers haven't got any more chairs and you've got to stand or sit in the aisle? It's uncomfortable. Carpet's not as soft as my chair. Pastor Lou, when are we getting more chairs? We're going to get more chairs. Because we're going to need more chairs. We're going to need more chairs because we're going to fall in love with God, with that first love. Yeah. What we witnessed last Sunday night, what we witnessed here this morning, is only a glimpse of what's to come. You'll find yourself, people, that you weren't even planning on getting up out of your chair on a Sunday morning. And the Holy Spirit's going to bring you out here and you're going to, what am I doing out the front? I literally saw that happening. People in the back row, like I used to be. Really? Really? All of a sudden, I'm up the front, I'm in tears, I'm repenting, surrendering my life to God. Look what he's done. Yeah, this year, look what he's done. All in love. I know your work, says the Lord. He's not disregarding that your work is. But this one thing he holds against us as a church, against us as individuals. I don't believe any of us are exempt. As I said, if you're exempt, that's okay. I think if we're honest with ourselves this morning, we need to fall in love again with that first love. I would gladly step back and sit on the 30th row next to some lady who's just said, that seat's already taken. To be at the front of a church and preach good news and nothing eventuate on it. Sharing God's word brings out fruit. That's its design. That's its end task. If we're not producing fruit out of ministry, perhaps there's something that needs adjustment, whether it be a large adjustment or a small adjustment. Don't lose your zeal. Don't lose your passion. Don't lose your fire for the things of the Holy Spirit. Be in prayer constantly. Fall in love with God again, like the first love. Can I ask the communion stewards to distribute the emblems, please? And as you take that breath, as you take that cup this morning, think how much Jesus loved you when he went to that cross. Think about that life change he had in mind for you. That day that first nail went into his wrist, into his feet, into his other wrist. Think of the pain that was in his heart. He took on the weight of sin. Think of that joy that it turned into. And he realized that his sacrifice is going to bring much fruit. I'm not about the building. The building's got nothing whatsoever to do. God's heart, my heart, is to see people come to Christ. Say goodbye to darkness. I'm not going back there again. Come into this wonderful life. I think it would spur you on to see some baby Christians come into the place that know nothing about faith, that know nothing about religious language, that know nothing about laying on the hands and seeing diseases and sickness free. And all of a sudden they get a revelation. The Bible said if I lay hands on the sick, they will recover. I practiced that during the week and my friend was made whole. I didn't believe in that praying in tongues stuff, and all of a sudden I'm babbling away and God starts to tell me stuff. I think that would invigorate you all. Some of you might get a bit jealous. How come God's doing that to them? He's not doing it to me. Well, perhaps you need to renew your first love. God's love toward every one of us. So awesome. Oh, so magnificent. Oh, magnificent. So extending, so outreaching, so beyond comprehension. Why would he save someone like me? I was destined for hell. Why would he worry about you? You were destined for hell. Why not go to a couple of those people that always went to church on a Sunday and get them turned on to Jesus? He saw you from the cross. He saw me from the cross. He said, I'm going to change that person's life. The moment they say, yes. I'm hoping today that all of us have been in that category and said yes.